This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Second hour coming your way, incendiary radio on the RBN. Students vow not to have children until government stops climate change. Jeez. Well, I'm not saying. I know that. I mean, we're in a la la land. I'm on LifeSite News, but I'm over here on Tomato Bubble right now. So, New York Times op-ed, making companies act when governments won't. And this ties in with the climate change stuff and gun stuff. Investors and customers can make corporate America do more than the law requires on gun violence and global warming. And this was on the New York Times editorial board. From high atop Marxist Manhattan's Mandacity factory, often referred to as the Gray Lady, the self-important editorial board of Sulzberger Slimes, headed by Andrew Rosenthal, that miserable little rodent behind the curtain who thinks he can shape the planet nearer to his dark heart, farts out a piece of totalitarian fecal matter with extremely dangerous implications for the future. Having been stymied and frustrated by a president and Congress which have failed to act on several cherished globalist initiatives, the demonic serpents of the left are advancing their relentless attack on liberty and sanity on a new front. Through the SJWs, deluded females and gutless cowards who now populate in a growing number of cases dominate much of corporate America. Sadly, Rosenthal is summarizing the effectiveness and potential of this fiendishly clever scheme to essentially deputize the corporations as unelected, unaccountable, untouchable hitmen for the leftist mafia. It's not exaggerating. Let's review and analyze a few excerpts. Rosenrat, investors and customers can make corporate America do more than the law requires on gun violence and global warming. Can make? To make a company do more directly implies the use of force, albeit in this case financial and social force. After mass shootings, including the one in Walmart in El Paso, Walmart's chief executive Doug McMillon announced that his company would stop selling ammunition for military-style assault rifles, remove handguns from stores in Alaska, the only Walmart still carrying them, and ask armed people in open carry states to stay out of its stores. Remember, Colt just decided not to produce any more of the AR platform weapons for civilian purchase. The intimidation of Walmart, now we know what the true purpose of that recent hoax shooting in Walmart was, amounts to a direct assault on the Second Amendment without technically violating the Second Amendment because it's a private entity that is restricting freedom, not the government. This same backdoor totalitarian approach is what got so many books banned from Amazon in 2017 and videos banned from Google, YouTube, outrageous assaults on freedom, which technically speaking do not violate the First Amendment guarantee of free speech. Rosenvermin, it's clear to us that the status quo is unacceptable, Mr. McMillon said in a statement. Mr. McMillon, you're a gutless wuss. Your $20 million annual compensation affords you unlimited armed protection, which you would deny to your law-abiding customers in order to get a few vocal communists like the obsessive Walmart basher Bernie Sanders off your back. the leaders of 145 other big American companies, including Levi Strauss, Royal Caribbean Cruises, and Bain Capital, published an open letter to the Senate last week pressing for new gun laws. This is a truly disturbing development, and one that will be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to stop by government action. How long will it be before banks stop lending or accepting deposits from gun manufacturers or hate groups? PayPal, too, has dumped yours truly, and we're talking about Mike King over Tomato Bubble. And look what all the PayPal and Patreon and all the different people that have been purged from using these platforms to do transactions. The left will praise their new corporate partners in slime, while short-sighted conservatives and rigid losertarians will defend the rights of private companies. How is it all of a sudden that Sulzberger Slimes is now in favor of corporate participation in the realm of culture and politics? And it goes on and on, but you get where this is going. And so, very freaky, okay? And I wanted to cover this last week. Sworn testimony exposed Planned Parenthood's crime of trafficking aborted baby body parts, okay? And this was all over the place in the last few days. But it's so insanely gross and nutty the way that they're basically violating the law, keeping babies alive and all the rest of this. And then you got this guy, Mike Pence, abortionist 2,200 baby trophy should sock the conscience of every American. And then you had Booty Gay talking about, well, it's kind of shocking that we had this going on, but at the same time, it shouldn't have anything to do with, you know, stopping anybody, you know, from accessing. Booty Gay says he hopes 2,246 baby corpses found won't impact abortion access. Okay. I mean, we're off in la-la land here with the genetic engineering, the keeping babies alive and selling their parts, harvesting them organs. I don't even know what to say. I'm surprised we haven't been hit by a freaking meteor yet. We got six tropical storms simultaneously right now down there in the Caribbean area. I got to kind of plug this. Victorious Libertas, their YouTube channel, it's got a bunch of live footage from the Lavoie-Finicum thing. Remember the Malheur thing up in Oregon and that wildlife refuge and that whole deal? So definitely go to Victorious Libertas and check them out, because there's a bunch of footage now that's come out from people that were in the truck with Lavoie-Finicum and so forth. So it's something to look at. Let's see here. Ken, get clip five ready. I've been wanting to play this for the last couple of weeks, but I just haven't had the time. And this is about 7 minutes, but it's definitely worth a listen. Go ahead and play clip five.
A scam. Here are the top 10, give or take a few, lies and propaganda of our current anti-white age. All white people are racist, and only white people can be racist. In fact, you are all white supremacists and don't even realize it. Your very existence, your breathing, literally pollutes non-white spaces. White privilege is real. Let me do a few somersaults to prove it to you. White people invented slavery and are only prosperous today all across the world because of 400,000 African slaves in America hundreds of years ago. Even places like Sweden, who had no slaves. So today you must be very, very guilty. Hang your head in shame and pay.
Sweden was a slave trading country until 1847, so much of its wealth is built upon the backs of the slave trade.
Europeans stole the land, all of it, everywhere they lived. They stole everything. They raped and pillaged everyone when no one else was. So get out of the way and let everybody else rape and pillage you. It's only fair. Europeans don't have a culture. Absolutely nothing. The only culture they do have is stolen from the vibrant peoples of other countries. When white people talk about heritage, it's code for white supremacy and the oppression of others, because European heritage in itself is a social construct and racist. But you must honor all other people's heritage, but not too much, because cultural appropriation is also racist. Oh, and honoring your ancestors is not okay for you, bigot. Shame, shame, shame. When there are too many white people in the same area, like a country where they are the ethnic majority, like Estonia, it is 1933 Germany all over again. And I don't have to remind you about that now, do I? White people becoming a minority in their country through open borders and tolerance is a very, very good thing to celebrate.
Whites will not be the majority. I mean, it's an exciting transformation of the country. It's an exciting evolution and progress of our country. White supremacists, white nationalists, that is viewed as a horrific event.
When the majority of European nations are inhabited by the third world, all your best dreams will come true. We'll be colonizing Mars, and robots will do all the work we don't want to do, so we can enjoy a life of leisure. I know the first generation might be a little bumpy, but the second one will adjust. No, I mean, the third one will adjust. It's a sacrifice, a transition we must make to save the world and to fight fascism. Don't have children for the environment and to end racism, white people. Mixed race children will bring peace on earth. A room full of white people, even if from different countries, speaking different languages, living in different cultures, can never, ever, ever be diverse. And without accepting racial, cultural, and sexual diversity, you white people will literally die. But that's also a good thing for ethnically European peoples, because you see, the end of you is good for you. There is no war on white people. No one's replacing you. No one's targeting you or discriminating against you. That's impossible anyway. You don't even exist. That's not what the UN meant by population replacement in European nations, or what the mainstream media means when they say things like, white men are bad, even a six-year-old tells me so. If you think otherwise, we will ban, censor, ruin you, and get you blacklisted from society and put you on a terrorist list. And oh my, how could I forget the most important thing of all? Israel is our greatest ally. Of course they need a really, really big wall to keep undesirables out, to keep Israel, Israel, you anti-Semite. The Jewish people are the chosen people by God, and they have the highest IQ on the planet, so they know what's best for us Europeans. Lots and lots and lots and lots of immigration, you fascist.
All right, you can stop it there. So, I mean, I had to play it. This just shows the insanity on another level. Okay. Let's see here. I want to cover this. I saw this the other day, and you guys know I've covered the Jesuit universities quite a bit. Fordham up in the Bronx. You had one of the Dulles brothers up there, while all the other Dulles skullduggery was going on in the CIA and so forth. Trump went to Fordham for a couple of years. Okay. You got Georgetown there in D.C., and you got Fordham in New York, run by the Jesuits. Okay. So this is up on the Gateway Pundit from yesterday. Must read. New York City's Fordham University, the alma mater of Obama CIA Chief John Brennan, House Rep. excuse me, Gerald Nadler, and more, is the real deep state you. What a cesspool Fordham University in New York has become. It's the alma mater of deep state crooks John Brennan and Gerald Nadler and more. It's also where deep state initiatives are conceived. We first noticed Fordham University's connections with the corrupt actors in the deep state when observing a recent article at The Atlantic. In the piece, Mr. Bruce Green, who is a professor at Fordham, says this. Bruce Green, a former federal prosecutor, is now a law professor at Fordham, emphasized the IG's reputation for independence. Inspector generals and federal prosecutors often come under pressure, political and otherwise, especially in high-profile cases. If they are good at their jobs, they don't respond to pressure. They adhere to internal policy and professional norms, Green said. One just can't assume that because McCabe's case has political implications that the inspector general succumbed to pressure or federal prosecutors will do so. Fordham University has many far-left positions. They have a video stating that they still believe Christine Blasey Ford's accounts of being groped 30 years ago by Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, even though she can't remember the day, place, or age she was when this occurred and has no witnesses and threatened the woman who was allegedly with her to lie. Okay. Fordham University is active in promoting the far-left agenda while squashing conservative ideas. See a short list below. Fordham article called Elizabeth Warren Harvard Law's first woman of color. Outrageous. Fordham University pressures campus Republicans to cancel Ann Coulter's speech. MSNBC guest and Fordham University professor Christine Greer also dismissed the murder of university student Molly Tibbetts as a girl in Iowa that Fox News is talking about. New York AG candidate Zephyr Teachout, a law professor at Fordham in New York, promised to not only abolish ICE if elected, but to prosecute ICE agents for their criminality as well. That's interesting because basically the Jesuits and the America Magazine crowd and all of them are completely on board with the Marxist flooding of the United States, the overthrow of the Republic, and so forth and so on. The same guys behind the 25th Amendment debacle with Trump. Fordham is also connected with ISIS sympathizers, according to an analysis by Fordham University. Americans who are prosecuted for ISIS-related cases received on average 13.5 years in prison. Fordham also associated with the same people who called Navy SEAL Kyle and his friends a bunch of savages. And so it just goes on and on. It's a long, long article. Okay, but it's definitely worth a look at. And there's all kinds of anti-white stuff going on at Fordham. And it's just, you know, it is the American university system, but the Catholic universities, especially the ones run by the Jesuits, Fordham and Georgetown are very, very high profile and high power places where a lot of things go on, a lot of strange things go on. So let's see. Skywatch TV, I saw a couple of interesting articles. World-renowned senior astronomer at SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Interstellar object racing towards Earth could be alien probe carrying higher entities. Okay, it's coming from outside the solar system. Gennady Borisov. Okay, and I talked about this a little bit last week. As Antichrist prepares to rise on the world stage, Petrus Romanus, that's Pope Francis, takes stand against Trump nationalism, calls for globalist supranational authority that would rule the world and force UN authority over nations. And it's asking, is Pope Francis, as many Catholics believe, the false prophet from Revelation 19 and 20? Okay. So Pope Francis made a strong new push for globalism on Thursday, calling for a supranational, legally constituted body to enforce United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and Gaia policies. See how it ties in with little Miss Thunberg over there? Speaking to members of the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences and the Vatican's Apostolic Palace, the Pope said, when a supranational common good is clearly identified, there is need for a special legally constituted authority capable of facilitating its implementation. The thrust of the Pope's remarks focused on growing trends towards nationalism, which he said threatens migrants, the universal common good, and the power of the UN and other transnational bodies to implement the Sustainable Development Goal agenda. You know, crazy stuff. biblical armies of the East. They're talking about the 200 million man kings of the East army in the book of Revelation. Develop psychotronic weapon that immobilizes individuals by generating violent vibrations in their eyeballs, stomach, liver, eardrums, and brain. Remember that bloody eyeball that Biden got the other week? I'm not saying somebody didn't hit him with something, or he could just be an old guy with brain problems like everybody thinks, but China has developed the world's first portable sonic gun for riot control. The rifle-shaped instrument, which was jointly developed with military and law enforcement, is designed to disperse crowds using focused waves of low-frequency sound. The device's biological effect would cause extreme discomfort with vibrations in the eardrums, eyeballs, stomach, liver, and brain. Very, very interesting there. We've got those type of weapons as well, those sound cannons and all that strange stuff. Ken, get clip 8 ready. Okay. Well, let's start with, hey, never mind. Let's go to 13, okay? I got a couple clips on this Three Mile Island thing. Let's go ahead and roll 13.
September 21st, 2019. Got something happened yesterday up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I think it's noteworthy. I don't know how many people remember the nuclear accident that happened at Three Mile Island, but back in 1979, and it was the worst commercial nuclear power accident in the history of the nation, still to this date. And at that time, they shut down one of the reactors, and they moved its core over, I think, into Idaho. And back then, but the tower's still there. So now they've shut Tower 1 down, I think is what they're calling the last one. And but that, now it's going to take, they're saying, 60 years to completely remove the fuel rods and take all of the buildings down and the towers down and everything like that. But there's a company that comes in now that says they can do it in 10 years, and they're buying up some of these older factories. But guys, any of these East Coast, any of the factories, nuclear power plants, let me say that, they're all old and aging. And any time that you have them in locations that can flood or prone to hurricanes or possible hurricanes or other problems, they become even more dangerous. And what has happened, a lot of these things when they were built were commissioned for 25 or so years. And then when that day came around, a lot of them were really having problems, leaking and just equipment wearing out when you're exposed to that kind of radiation. Nothing really holds up very well, but thanks to lobbying and other interests, new 20-year license were handed out instead of them having to approve and make sure everything was safe to get renewed. Just handed out, and money does that. You've seen it before. So this is good news in that area. And again, with the climate and hurricanes and storms changing because of Grand Solar Minimum, then these decommissioning of the plants is key. And I read a report yesterday, I think it was, South Korea is very concerned. And that's because Japan is saying they have no more storage room for the millions or maybe hundreds of millions of gallons of nuclear wastewater that they've been having to put in tanks since the disaster there after the Fukushima earthquake and tsunami. And so that would, and guys, to be truthful with that, there's been reported leaks from day one, remember? But anyway, they now have, they're saying they have no more storage capability. So the decommissioning of all these plants is a good thing. And for Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, you got enough problems without another plant going on that's decrepit, but at least they've turned it off. It says the end of the 45-year electricity.
Now let's go to clip 8. There's one of the cores is over in Idaho, allegedly, from this Three Mile Island reactor. And that one's down in the earth somewhere. Let's play clip 8.
We're getting word now that this partially melted reactor core from the worst nuclear accident in U.S. history could remain in Idaho for another 20 years. This is if this license is finalized. I want to mention this because we have a lot of issues in this country that just go unnoticed, unchecked, untalked about. In this instance, if this was to fail, what sits below this is a massive body of water, a massive aquifer that many people are completely oblivious to. They have no idea it even exists. It is the size of Lake Erie. If it gets contaminated in this process, because of this, it's just done. The whole thing's done. There will be no saving it. Only time will be the thing to solve the equation, as a lot of these nuclear components, they have, you know, half-lives of hundreds of years sometimes. So, in this instance, the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer is what we're looking at. This new license would be good through 2039. If anything happened at this facility up until that point, any kind of meltdown, anything that involves eating through the earth and tapping into this aquifer, it could absolutely ruin it forever. And a lot of people, like I said, have no idea they're dependent on that aquifer, bigger than Lake Erie. So just wanted to mention that.
Go ahead, stop it.
I'll leave links below.
You know, here, it's almost like we've got people that are so freaking evil that they, Ken's like, no wonder why they want to upload their consciousness to silicone. Yeah, it's like these people are so freaking evil. It's like a non-human entity is actually, you know, it's like these people that have these witchcraft freaking covens, these satanic covens and so forth. They must be getting some strange directions, because, I mean, what kind of person would know that there's an aquifer and be like, yeah, let's store this reactor core right here above this. You know, let's build all these nuke plants right on fault lines or right on the edge of the sea. I mean, we've got some serious demons in control of our world, and it's crazy. Let's get clip 9 ready. I know we're coming up into the bottom of the hour here, but we'll see if the music kicks in or not. But this one's interesting. This is from like a day and a half ago. Let's roll clip 9.
News tonight. The first ever Israeli-Saudi Arabian Air Force collaboration, and they have demolished Iran's Abu Kamal complex that was in Syria. The latest round of attacks on Iran's military complex in Syria, in the Abu Kamal region, was a joint operation by Israel and Saudi Arabian Air Forces. The Gulf military sources are reporting that just about an hour ago, the targets were, they hit the Al-Quds Iranian brigade bases, the command centers, the missiles, the ammunition stores, and Iran had set up there in Syria near the Iraqi border. There's at least 100 Iranians, if not 200 Iranians are dead, maybe, and several hundred injured. Western military sources report that an unidentified UAV slightly sighted lately flying over Iranian concentrations in Syria belonged to Saudi Arabia. One was shot down on Thursday. Of course, that was a drone. So Israel and Saudi Arabia teamed up, went in, and took out Iran's base in a massive explosion. Now, and the air, they used F-15s, maybe even some F-35s. Now, the United States did provide air cover and refueling for both Israel and Saudi Arabia. And Heidi, we just saw a report, didn't we? I don't know if it's on here or not.
Hit this square.
You can square. Stop it there. Okay. So right when we're having these Israeli elections with Netanyahu and Gantz and all this, there's, you know, I haven't heard about this joint strike anywhere. I don't know if it's true or not. You know, it's crazy stuff. Now, I'm also hearing that Yossi Cohen, director of the Mossad, okay, and he's there till 2020. He's going to be taking over the Likud party for Netanyahu. I'm seeing articles talking about this. So the head of Mossad, look for him to move in to be head of Likud, and his last name is Cohen. Very interesting. We all know about the Kohanim and everybody with the last name Cohen, and they think that they're of the lineage of the high priests, the Aaronic priest. No, the Levitic. What is it? The Levitical priesthood. Yeah. For the Levites and all that. You know who? Whatever. And we could get into arguments all day about that, but that's the alleged line. Interesting person. Keep your eyes on Yossi, Yossi Cohen, head of Mossad right now, and I'm seeing rumblings that he might be taking over as head of Likud. If he takes over head of Likud, of course, look for him to run for prime minister in the very near future. And so, kind of interesting there. And so you'll have a Cohen running, running the heavyweight, quote unquote, conservative party for the Israeli government. Okay, now, great upheaval begins with top American bank nearing collapse. Goldman Sachs warning that world stock markets are about to get wild in October, okay? And that's on CNBC. It states the more accurate word that they should have used to describe what is coming would be catastrophic, and is due to one of America's largest banks so near to collapsing. The Federal Reserve is rushing to keep it afloat with a staggering $1.5 trillion emergency bailout. And I heard this all on Rick Wiles' True News the other day. An emergency bailout, however, the Federal Reserve is spreading out with $75 billion injections every day, and this is on Yahoo News, until October 10th, so as not to alarm and place into panic their nation's citizens, but is now, and this is on Reuters, sowing chaos deep inside the plumbing of the entire U.S. financial system, most particularly because this bank nearing collapse has yet to be officially named, thus causing it to be said, and this on Zero Hedge, the Fed better figure out who they are before some financial reporter does, prints their name for the whole world to see, and starts what may soon be the biggest bank run since the financial crisis, and whose collapse would join it with, and this is on the FDIC.gov website, 566 other U.S. banks that have failed over the past 24 months. Okay. I don't need a break, Ken. We can just go on through. Okay. Unless you need one. Okay, he's good. Okay. So the FDIC.gov, 566 other U.S. banks that have failed over the past 24 months, all of which French President Emmanuel Macron on 27 August told the world to expect with his warning the great upheaval has begun, and is stating that the international order is being shaken in an unprecedented manner by the great upheaval that is undoubtedly taking place for the first time in our history in almost every field and with a profoundly historic magnitude. Yeah, God, the creator of our reality, is shaking the foundations. We're a bunch of jerks, and you know we've had this coming. And then the devil's crowd, you know, the money changers, the scribes, and the Pharisees, they're doing their part too. They're operating within their their system of, you know, their little sphere where they're allowed to operate as well. The age of ruling the world has come to an end, like those of the French and British empires who came before them, okay? A fact known by President Trump, who more than readied himself for the most critical event that will define the 21st century, best example by stating in a barely noticed interview, which he gave in March 2015, months before he decided to run for president, "We used to have a very, very solid country because it was based on a gold standard." Okay? And to make happen would see him having to invoke the unlimited powers granted to him under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which nearly a month ago Trump proclaimed he had an absolute right to invoke anytime he so chooses. Okay? And you look up the IEEPA, enacted is a United States federal law authorizing the president to regulate international commerce after declaring a national emergency in response to any unusual and extraordinary threat to the United States, which has its source in whole or substantial part outside the United States. This was signed by President Carter, December 28, 1977. Okay? Just interesting. The International Emergency Economic Powers Act. So keep your eyes open for that. Okay? I mean, the amount of stuff coming our way is, it's fascinating. Now, Ken, back to clip one, where I sent you that second time to have that clip forwarded to. You got that ready? Yeah. So I'm going to get back to this. Google researchers have reportedly achieved quantum supremacy. Now, I'm going to let you kind of get the boil down from Mike Adams real quick, and then I've got the MIT technology review up on what this means, and then we'll talk about it. So let's play this.
I'm going to talk about the quantum supremacy claims of Google and, more importantly, the implications for humanity. And I was talking with Alex off the air here, and I think we both agree that humanity is in deep trouble. What's coming, not just from this quantum supremacy, but also artificial intelligence, will challenge our very existence. And of course, no one in the mainstream media seems to have any understanding of this or even a willingness to cover it. And that's one reason why I'm so thankful that this platform exists here on InfoWars and for your support to keep this platform alive and humming. And more than ever, I mean ever in the history of human existence, InfoWars needs your support. InfoWars needs to be well-funded so that we can continue to get this message out. Now, we have a conundrum as a human race. The conundrum is that, well, there's a race to see who can develop AI first, which nations or corporations can build it first, and also which nations or corporations can master quantum supremacy first. These are two different technologies, but they do overlap in certain ways that I'll talk about here. Now, the conundrum is that if we don't develop these technologies, we will be enslaved and dominated and annihilated by communist China, which is absolutely working on these technologies. And of course, Google is probably working with China on this as well, because Google is the most evil corporation in the world. It seems like Google hates America, and Google doesn't want America to be the dominant force in the future of our world. So China has been chosen by Google because they like this communist approach to the world. They like to have, you know, people enslaved. They don't want individuals to have anything resembling liberty. But if China has this technology first, then they will defeat the United States military, because the military will have no more secrets. There will be no ability for the Pentagon to broadcast communications to submarine commanders or troops or, you know, leaders anywhere in the world, because all those messages, which are transmitted over the open airwaves, you know, they just propagate through the atmosphere as electromagnetic waves, they will be able to be cracked by China if China develops quantum supremacy first. So, in other words, we can't back off of this technology. We have to pursue it. And yet, we all know, at least those in the highest levels of science and mathematics, we know that this technology will be the annihilation of humanity. So it's a suicide pact, almost. And yet, you still can't back off of it because you don't want to be defeated by the enemies of the United States. So here's what's really happening. This technology, this research, is being pursued by many corporations. It includes Google, Microsoft, even Nokia is involved in some of this. It includes Communist China, the United States of America, the NSA, and other corporations, IBM, for example. Alibaba in China has been pursuing some of this. You can just go through the U.S. Patent Office and you can see a multitude of patents, thousands on, you know, quantum computing and artificial intelligence and all these things. There are thousands of patents already, much more coming. But this technology is the great enslaver of humanity because it concentrates power into the hands of the few. If you thought you were living in a slave nation now, a slave world, a tech environment where you are spied upon, where Google builds psychological profiles, where your emails are read by Google to be used against you, exploited to manipulate you, if you thought that was bad, wait until Google has a working 512-bit quantum computer that can decrypt every encrypted file or every encrypted transaction that you might send or that an organization might send, such as a bank. Banks issuing wire transfers could be completely transparently read by Google or even spoofed by Google if it's the first one to have this capability. So in other words, whatever corporation controls this technology first will be able to dominate global finance. They will be able to compromise all cryptocurrency as it exists today. They will be able to read all encrypted communications, emails, military messages, and even archive files that have been previously encrypted that they've already stored at the NSA because they've been sweeping up all these files for many years. So you might have secrets that you emailed somebody 5 years ago. A secret document, a secret code, a secret financial spreadsheet that you encrypted, that will be broken in the future by this technology, and you might be retroactively prosecuted for something that you thought was perfectly safe. This is coming. And now, let's talk about cryptocurrency for a second. Now, I know, look, I'm in favor of the whole idea of cryptocurrency. I'm in favor of decentralization. The Federal Reserve is a scam. It's a criminal cartel of fiat currency to control humanity. And they've controlled us since 1913, creature from Jekyll Island. They've done a damn good job of controlling us. But cryptocurrency has a vulnerability now because of quantum computing. Unless Bitcoin and other crypto platforms, unless they find a new way, a much stronger version of cryptography, which I'll talk about in a second. There is such a thing called quantum cryptography that might be a solution for this. But if we don't switch to that, all cryptocurrency will be compromised. According to Google scientists, they're estimating within 2 to 3 years, they will have that capability.
All right.
So you can start your clocks.
So now I got the MIT, okay? And this is from 2 days ago. According to a report in the Financial Times, a team of researchers from Google led by John Martinez have demonstrated quantum supremacy for the first time. This is the point at which quantum computer is shown to be capable of performing a task that's beyond the reach of even the most powerful conventional supercomputer. The claim appeared in a paper that was posted on a NASA website, but the publication was then taken down. Google did not respond to a request for comment from MIT Technology Review. Why NASA? Google struck an agreement last year to use supercomputers available to NASA as benchmarks for its supremacy experiments. According to the Financial Times report, the paper said that Google's quantum processor was able to perform a calculation in 3 minutes and 20 seconds that would take today's most advanced supercomputer known as Summit around 10,000 years. 3 minutes and 20 seconds versus 10,000 years by the most powerful thing known right now. In the paper, the researchers said that, to their knowledge, the experiment marks the first computation that can only be performed on a quantum processor. Quantum machines are so powerful because they harness quantum bits, or qubits. Unlike classical bits, which are either a 1 or a 0, qubits can be in a combination of both at the same time. And I've talked about this, where you're two places at once. Thanks to other quantum phenomena, which are described in our explainer here, quantum computers can crunch large amounts of data in parallel that conventional machines have to work through sequentially. Scientists have been working for years to demonstrate that the machines can definitively outperform conventional ones. How significant is this? Very. In a discussion of quantum computing at MIT Technology Review's MTech conference in Cambridge, Massachusetts this week before news of Google's paper came out, Will Oliver, an MIT professor and quantum specialist, likened the computing milestone to the first flight of the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk in aviation. He said it would give added impetus to research the field, which should help quantum machines achieve their promise more quickly. Their immense processing power could ultimately help researchers and companies discover new drugs and materials, create more efficient supply chains, and turbocharge AI. Okay. Now, I got this up on Steve Quayle. Second headline. DARPA advisor reveals conscious AI supercomputers used for mind control of targeted individuals. Let me read that again. DARPA advisor reveals conscious AI supercomputers used for mind control of targeted individuals. Can you understand what that's talking about? That's basically, you're talking AI controlling the minds of a TI. We've had all the, you know, talk show hosts, Deanna and others, bring on these people to talk about the TIs and everything. But think about this. There's a DARPA advisor now. He's saying, hey, conscious AI supercomputers are doing it to people. I mean, think about shooters. Think about people that are biting people out here, people eating faces and all this stuff. Wow. We're in la-la land, folks. And so I don't know where this goes to here, but, you know, the Pope probably says the Quran is a book of peace because Islam is not a violent religion. Iran's President Rouhani issues chilling warning to the West to keep out of the Gulf and avoid arms race as he shows off the nation's military hardware after the U.S. sent reinforcements to the region in the wake of drone attacks. Now, the other day, I heard Jones putting this forward, and as he was dropping what he called a bombshell, he said his systems over there were getting DOS attacks, okay, after he's breaking it. And so basically what he was saying was this, that the Obama holdovers, you know, this shadow diplomacy thing where you always had Obama kind of following Trump around and having meetings and so forth. Well, basically, they're trying to put forth this idea that there's shadow diplomacy going on with Obama and John Kerry and so forth with the Iranians. Okay. And then, so they're basically, you know, they did this P5 plus one deal with the Iranians, the Iran nuclear agreement and all that. And Trump kind of pulled out of it. And all that. So now people are trying to maintain that there's shadow diplomacy going on here, backdoor behind Trump's back, which would be a violation of what, the Logan Act or the Hatch Act? I can't remember, but it's one of those two, where basically the non-sitting president, ex-president, is actually going behind, you know, the present administration's back and conducting operations and diplomacy, skullduggery, whatever you want to call it. Just wanted to put that one out there. Okay, so now we have this Ukraine thing. Okay, now we all know about Hunter Biden and all the billions of gas deals going on with the Ukrainians, and the Ukrainians allegedly trying to get Hillary elected and all that stuff. We know about Uranium One with the Russians, so this is hard for a person like for me to decipher. Ken, if you would get clip 12 ready. Now, people are maintaining that this story coming up to try to blame Trump for basically violating various protocols by talking to Ukrainians and looking into Hunter Biden's dealings and all this other stuff is a distraction for something that's coming our way. And could it be a big, you know, I covered that financial stuff. Who knows? But let's listen to clip 12 real quick.
Huge. And it's not good for the deep state. It's not good for the establishment. And this is why you're seeing what's happening in the media right now, how they put up this pretty much false story to try to paralyze the Trump administration. So let's look at this story for a second.
President Trump, in a phone call, repeatedly pressured the president of Ukraine to investigate the Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden's son.
The president specifically pressured the president of Ukraine over this Biden investigation.
They're saying that Donald Trump was on a phone call with the foreign leader, supposedly the leader of Ukraine, and that he wanted the leader of Ukraine to get dirt on Biden, or he's going to withhold military aid. Now, supposedly a deep state operative heard this and ran to daddy and had to, because he was so shocked and concerned, that he had to go tell on Donald Trump. Look, we know a few things are for sure. What's the meat of this story? What's the real juice of this story? Not that Donald Trump, he can investigate whoever he wants. He's the president. What's the meat of it? The meat of it is this, that Joe Biden openly bragged about strong-arming a Ukrainian prosecutor to end his investigation, to get him fired, that prosecutor to get fired because he was investigating Joe Biden's son. He strong-armed him while he was vice president. Now, supposedly, Hunter Biden was in some kind of, you know, corruption scandal. This Ukrainian prosecutor was investigating him, and Joe Biden got that prosecutor fired. But that's okay, because he's a Democrat. When Hillary Clinton goes and hires an MI6 British operative to go ahead and to get dirt on Donald Trump, it's okay. She's a Democrat. Look, this is absolutely just a facade. This is just another attempt to remove Donald Trump because they're losing. Look, the fake news is just being exposed like never before, and it's glorious. They're collapsing from within. So is the deep state. So is the corruption. They're going to lose in 2020. They don't have a candidate that could beat Trump. You know, these kind of stories make me sick because you have all of these mainstream media outlets all coordinated together to do the same thing that they've been trying to do, which is to get Donald Trump impeached and removed because they can't beat him. And because he's winning. This is all this is about.
All right, so you're going to stop that.
This is
there.
How it is.
You know, it's wild to try to figure all this out. Wanted to play a little bit of that, though. I mean, it's the typical projection. Uranium One happens and blah, blah, blah. Then it's the Russian collusion, okay? The heat gets turned up on a little bit of Ukraine action, and it's, you know, with, you know, you got Manafort and Roger Stone, kind of Stone's out of the picture. I haven't seen or heard from him. The Manafort was had some dealings in the Ukraine. He's in prison. Hunter Biden scot-free when all this billions of dollars of stuff going on, gas deals. Up on Before It's News, there's people talking about things going on at the Walmart still, okay? Installing basically some very nefarious looking fencing and so forth. Robert Kiyosaki, get your money out of the bank, prepare for what's coming a day ago. Just a lot of things going on. We're coming up at the end of the show here. Ken, get clip 10 ready. This is Roy Potter, and he was kind of a Q person for a while. Now, Q, I haven't seen any drops in quite a while. Now, you can probably get on the some of the chans and look around and see other stuff, but none of the official stuff on the Q map. People are deciphering all of Trump's tweets now, like kind of like looking for clues. Let's listen to clip 10.
I have been anticipating for some time that, as I've said, I've warned you that McCabe and Comey are not going to be recommended for indictment by the OIG, and that's the way it's starting to unravel at this point, that the swamp has remained too strong because President Trump allowed it to be. Ray as FBI director. I told you that Barr would be more interested in saving the institutions and saving face than making sure that this all goes right. And the information that we're seeing right now is that that's going to be the case. If Comey and McCabe don't get indicted in any way from the findings in the OIG, or Horowitz is covering their tracks, then the chances are that even anything else that's being investigated at this point outside the OIG is going to be turned down as well. That means everybody from Obama all the way down to some clerk in an intel office that was involved in this. We've lost our country, ladies and gentlemen. It's gone. I hope you understand that's what this means. Trump has placated us now for nearly 3 years, and he's turning on us. I just uploaded on my Twitter a story by Headlines with a Voice about get ready to pay for the training of your low-wage replacements. And she talks about the betrayal that's going on to the American workers in the Senate and by President Trump right now. He's going to meet today in Houston, I guess, with the Indian Prime Minister Modi to probably announce that they're going to bring all these low-wage Indian workers in here to replace our college graduates. With the attacks on the First Amendment that we've not been protected against, with the attacks on the Second Amendment, even by the president himself, and with the justice system declining to prosecute those who have committed this coup, not against President Trump, you understand, but against the American people. Our government has been at war with us, as I warned, and it's going to get worse. They're going to start coming after people who, as Ray said, if you have a problem with the government, complain about it, if you point out what they consider to be fake news, fake information, you're not just being accused now of abusing your First Amendment privileges, you are considered a domestic extremist and even a domestic terrorist. Ladies and gentlemen, our war...
All right, go ahead, stop it there.
The government.
Mike Lee, there was a big bust-up about him trying to slip some things in about the H-1B and let the floodgates open. Trump's meeting with this Modi character. Troops going to Saudi Arabia. People saying that we're attacking in days. It's going to bring forth nuclear war. Everything's coming together. Everything is coming down the pike right at us. You know, we've got the rent still has up the guy hanging himself, the David Dees graphic. So I don't know. You know, coming up to the end of the show here, hopefully, hopefully some of this is all just hype. Hopefully, you know, but you know, we all realize though there's been so much evil done, so much blood spilled on this land, innocent blood, that there's a reckoning day. It's going to come our way, and you know, we're all going to have to, you know, stand in this evil day and face what's coming. We've got a lot of domestic enemies running around all over this country that are trying to paint us as domestic enemies. It's sad. It's harrowing. It's, you know, totally just mind-blowing, you know, how far we've fallen in such a short period of time. You know, look at your people and that you love in your life and tell them you love them and prepare spiritually, mentally, physically, prepare what's coming our way. I hear the music. Hope you guys enjoyed all the material. I couldn't get to the calls. I had so much. So the lunatic fringe is taking over our society. We might as well finish out the show with the lunatic fringe. Thanks, everybody.